In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, in today's gospel, it's related that a certain ruler, whose son was about to die, knowing that Jesus Christ had come into Galilee, went in search of him and entreated him to come and cure his son. And these words, "Come down before my son die." The same may be said of him who begins to submit to the tyranny of any passion. He is at the point of the death of the soul, which should be dreaded far more than the death of the body. Now, our passions are not of themselves bad nor hurtful. When regulated according to the dictates of reason and prudence, they do not do us injury, but are, on the contrary, profitable to the soul. But when they're disorderly, when they get out of hand, they are productive of irreparable mischief to those who obey them. For when any passion takes possession of the heart, it obscures the truth. It makes the soul dumb and incapable of distinguishing between good and evil. The author of the Book of Wisdom implored the Lord to deliver him from a mind which was under the sway of passion, saying, "Give me not over to a shameless and foolish mind." The Book of Wisdom, or Ecclesiasticus, chapter 23, verse 6. So if a man wishes to preserve the spiritual life, sanctifying grace, he has to ask the Lord to deliver him as soon as possible from that passion, saying, "Lord, come down before my soul die." If he does not, he shall be miserably lost. There is, in fact, a great danger of damnation to which all who submit to the domination of any bad passions are exposed. "Only this," said the wise Solomon, "I found that God made man right, and that he," that is man, "hath entangled himself with an infinity of questions." Book of Wisdom, again, chapter 7, verse 30. God, yes, he created man right. That is, he created man in a state of original justice and sanctifying grace. But man, by giving ear to the serpent, exposed himself to temptations and was conquered. He rebelled against God, and his passions rebelled against him. These are the passions which, according to St. Paul, cause a continual war between flesh and the spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. However, with the aid of divine grace, it is in man's power to resist these passions and not allow them to rule over him. It is, as the Lord said, even to Cain, yes, Cain, who had murdered his brother. The Lord told Cain that even in the power of man to rule over them and bring them into subjection to reason, God said, "But the lust thereof shall be under thee, and thou shalt have dominion over it." Genesis 4, 7. Let the assaults of the flesh and of the devil to make us abandon the way of God, even if they be ever so violent. Jesus Christ has said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Luke 17, 21. Within us, he's established a kingdom in which the will, our free will, is the queen that ought to rule over all the senses and passions. And what greater glory or honor can man have than to be the master of his passions, the master of himself? The proper regulation of the motions of the mind constitutes the interior mortification so much recommended by spiritual masters. It secures the salvation of the soul. The health of the body depends on the regulation of the elements inside it. And if one of them predominates to excess, it causes death. But the health of the soul consists in the proper control of the passions by reason. But when any passion rules over reason, it enslaves, and then it kills the soul. Many pay great attention to their external conduct. They endeavor to appear modest and respectful, but at the same time, they cherish in their hearts sinful affections against justice, or against charity, or against humility, or against chastity. And for them is prepared the chastisement with which the Savior threatened the scribes and the Pharisees, who were careful to have their cups and their dishes clean, but nourished within themselves unjust and unclean thoughts. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you make clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but within you are full of rapine and uncleanness. Matthew 23:25. The royal prophet says that all the beauty of a soul that is the true daughter of God consists in an interior good will. A good will. All the glory of the king's daughter is within. Psalm 44, verse 14. So what use is it? What use is it, says St. Jerome, to abstain from food and at the same time to allow the mind to swell with pride? Or what good is it to abstain from wine and to indulge in the drunkenness of anger? Christians who act in this manner do not lay aside their vices. They only cover them with the mantle of devotion. A man must divest himself of all bad passions. Otherwise, he will not be the king, but the slave of his affections. And in opposition to the command of the apostle, sin will reign in his heart. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body so as to obey the lusts thereof. Romans 6:12. Man is, as St. Thomas says, the king of himself when he regulates his body and his carnal affections according to reason. But according to St. Jerome, when the soul serves vice, she loses the honor of a kingdom. She loses the honor of a queen and becomes, as St. John teaches, the slave of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So how do we avoid becoming the slaves of our passions and the slaves of sin? If we have already been enchained by the bonds of passion, how do we liberate ourselves? I believe firmly, and I urge you to as well, that overcoming our passions will be due chiefly to the intercession of our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God. This will be accomplished especially in the daily and fervent recitation of the Holy Rosary, a prayer which is so humble and childlike that it fulfills in us our Lord's requirement that we must become like little children if we wish to enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3. It's now the month of October, the month of the Holy Rosary. And as you know, Our Lady was conceived free from all stain of original sin, and she never committed the slightest sin during her earthly life. When she petitions our Lord on her behalf, on our behalf, it's no longer our paltry prayers on their own which are presented, with all of the self-love and other imperfections mixed in. No, it is the humble and immaculate requests of his own mother, and you know, he cannot refuse his mother. Many of you probably have rosary stories. I certainly do. The rosary is so powerful to obtain for us, first of all, the remission of our sins and untold, even incredible graces. The rosary indeed truly is a spiritual weapon. You know that soldiers, when they move in small units, typically have one who has to carry a very large, heavy weapon, a quote-unquote machine gun, whether it's a .50 caliber or perhaps an M60, an M249. The point is, something that destroys and decimates the enemy. This is a fitting image of the Holy Rosary. It is so powerful before God and to drive away the and decimate the enemy. This month especially, we should read the works of the great Marian saints, such as St. Louis de Montfort, the glorious apostle of Mary, whose missions and preaching about 100 years before the French Revolution inspired the Catholic counter-revolution in the Vendée. The saint likens the Aves of the Rosary to roses from heaven, telling us that we should eagerly crown ourselves with these roses by reciting an entire rosary every day, For those who are able, it is even recommended to recite 3 rosaries, each of 5 decades, which are like little wreaths or crowns of flowers. Might seem impossible, but think about how you spend your day. Think about the time in traffic, the time when it seems like there's nothing to do. There is more time for more decades. There are 2 great reasons for doing this. First of all, to honor the 3 crowns of Jesus and Mary, our Lord's crown of grace at the time of his incarnation, his crown of thorns during the Passion, and his crown of glory in heaven. And of course, the threefold crown which the Holy Trinity gave Mary in heaven. Secondly, we should do this so that we ourselves may receive 3 crowns from Jesus and Mary. The first, a crown of merit during our lifetime. The second, a crown of peace at death. And the third, a crown of glory in heaven. Saint Louis reveals to us the truly astonishing, almost shocking promises of Our Lady to those who persevere in reciting her rosary every day. If you recite the rosary every day until death, the saint assures us that in spite of the gravity of our sins, we will receive a never fading crown of glory. Even if you are on the brink of damnation, even if you already have a foot in hell, even if you have sold your soul to the devil as sorcerers do practice black magic, even if you're a heretic so obstinate as the devil, if you pray the rosary every day, sooner or later you will be converted and amend your life and save your soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.